ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The car's obviously not changed for a while now, so it's nothing to do with the car. I think it's important to remember that for the other 19 races, the way I've been driving's been working pretty well. So it's more about adding some tools to the toolbox rather than reinventing myself.
Oscar Piastri. Mexico City's an incredible place, but things can really get away from a bloke in that town. And for Oscar, he's just seen his championship lead evaporate in the Mexican sun. The thing is, this wasn't a one-off. He has not been on the podium for the last four Grand Prix. His teammate, Lando Norris, in contrast, has for three of them, and he just won here. So, if it's not the car, what's wrong for Piastri? How does he fix it? And fix it fast? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Mick Doyle is the ABC's Formula One writer. Mick, Oscar Piastri finished fifth in Mexico City as Lando Norris took an overall lead in the title race. What went wrong for the Victorian?
Well, I think the big thing that went wrong was actually the day before during qualifying on what was Sunday morning Australian time, where Oscar Piastri was fundamentally 6/10 of a second off his teammate Lando Norris. So while Norris storms to pole position and a day later goes on and wins, Oscar qualified 8th fastest and he started 7th because somebody else had a penalty. So he's already behind the 8 ball, and in a championship that is so tightly contested, there is very little separating the top cars at the moment. They're all dialed in at a really high level. And if you're going to start 7th, 8th in the mid-pack, you're in trouble because you essentially get stuck in a train behind all the other cars. And because everyone's so evenly matched, it's actually almost impossible to overtake.
It's a disastrous start for Oscar Piastri, who could be down in 11th place currently and out of the points. He's got it all to do from there, starting 7th. We thought he might get caught up in a bit of commotion, and it happened.
So that was the big issue for Oscar, and it's been his issue for the last four or five races. Since he won in the Netherlands, he has not qualified on the front row, and subsequently he has then only finished on the podium once, and that's been a problem for him. He's starting on the back foot, and then on Sunday during the race, he's having to fight and repair the damage, and that's really what happened in Mexico.
And the contrast is so stark when you consider Lando Norris, his teammate, is doing so well. A 34-point lead has now become a one-point deficit. Oscar made mention after this race in Mexico that the car's fine, but I've had to drive it differently. And sometimes I should have driven it differently, but I haven't. So the last couple of weeks, that sort of narrative, that conversation, it all feels a bit contradictory. What does he mean by that? That simultaneously the car is fine, but the car's kind of not fine?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, Pat. And we know the car's fine. Lando Norris stormed to the win in Mexico City, and he was outstanding. That's probably the best drive of his season by a mile.
Nobody has got within Lando Norris this weekend. They tried to chase. They didn't come close. 7th win of the season for Lando Norris. Maximum points as he hits back in Mexico City.
For Oscar, there is something about how the car is reacting, it would seem, or appears, that he's just not gelling with like he was 3 or 4 months ago.
You know, I've got to drive the car very differently these last couple of weekends, which, when it's been working well for you for the previous 18, is a little bit difficult to kind of wrap your head around. But tried a few things today, and I'll have a look if that was what we were looking for.
And while the car is the same, the conditions are always different. Every track is different. Everything from temperature to even sea level. The Mexico City Grand Prix is more than 2,200 metres above sea level, which means there's less air, which means you can overheat the engine, it's harder to overtake. So there's a myriad of reasons why the car might not react necessarily best to his driving style, while we see Lando, you know, driving off into the distance.
I never want to blame my car, you know, and certainly when the car was winning and Oscar was winning, the last thing I ever could do is use the excuse that my car's not good enough. But I wasn't getting up to grips and wasn't finding a way to make it work. And I'm finding a better way to make it work now.
They haven't upgraded the car or brought upgrades to the car in quite a while, and they're not going to for the rest of the year. They do not need to. They have the Constructors' Championship, and there's a whole new set of regulations for 2026. So for Oscar, I think at the moment he needs to go through the analysis and the data, and he will do this with his team, and see where he's losing out to Lando. Because in the last four races, they've been on wildly different tracks, wildly different environments, and Lando keeps coming out on top. He keeps out qualifying him for the most part, and then in the race he definitely finishes ahead.
Both outscore the championship leader Oscar Piastri, who has battled back from seventh on the grid, but it's going to be fifth for him.
So it's going to be fine-tooth comb sort of stuff, going through and seeing where can I pick up a hundredth of a second there, hundredth of a second there, and with any luck for Oscar, he'll be able to turn it around. But you know, time's starting to run out.
Yeah, as you say, it feels like we're looking at something of a trend right now, given the disparity of performances. Four races without a podium, five without a win. He's, as you say, just 1 point off. How concerning is it that we're seeing this trend? And I just wonder, in a game that is so much driven by confidence, how do you find that in about a week's time for the Grand Prix in Brazil?
Well, you see, that's the championship winning question, isn't it? How do you rediscover that magic, rediscover that confidence? Sometimes it can just be one lap. Sometimes one stonking pole lap can all of a sudden, you know, alleviate all of that stress that you've had. It is a worry for Oscar because he is currently on the wrong end of momentum at the moment. But this season has gone back and forth. Just at the moment, it's now that Lando has the ascendancy. If we had this conversation 5 months ago, you know, we were having discussions about, you know, is Lando, you know, mentally strong enough? Can he come back? Oscar doesn't make mistakes. Yada, yada, yada. Now it's the other way around.
One great weekend really doesn't mean anything. Two, three, four in a row means something. So I'm fighting the best guys in the world who can turn it around at any time. So there's no point thinking, oh, I'm feeling amazing and the others aren't or whatever.
Essentially, this season has always been close. And it's just gone through ebbs and flows. And we get to the end of 20 rounds and the pair of them are 1 point separated. You know, at some point, Oscar had a 34-point lead. There was at one point in this season where Lando's lead was over 20 points. So essentially, we've evened ourselves out, and now we've got a four-weekend sprint to the finish. It's fabulous.
The language from Oscar was intriguing when he talked about adding tools to the toolbox, and I was particularly intrigued by it because it was then mirrored by team engineer Andrea Stella, and that speaks to me of an understanding from the McLaren team about where they see him. But it's a little bit worrying, isn't it, to think about trying to improve yourself when you've got four races remaining in a title race. We need to be at your absolute best.
Well, I think it's important to remember that these drivers are always trying to improve themselves. So I think even Max Verstappen is always looking to add a tool to his toolbox. But it was interesting to hear both Oscar and Andre Stella, the team principal, essentially, you know, say the exact same line.
It's more about adding some tools to the toolbox rather than reinventing myself.
We know that we have added tools to the toolbox with Oscar, which will make him definitely even stronger.
So maybe it's a party line. Maybe they conjured it up prior to doing post-race interviews in Mexico. But I think Oscar Piastri is being very honest there. He is in his third season of Formula One, so he, you know, theoretically is still not at his peak or not at the best he'll ever drive. Everything's a learning experience. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, Oscar trying to win his first title or even someone like Fernando Alonso, who's been in the sport for, you know, well over 20 years. They are always having to learn something new because the car always changes or the conditions always change. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I'd be more concerned if Oscar said, I don't have anything more to learn. That'd be a lot more concerning.
McLaren's previously said they would not prioritise a driver, and I'm interested to understand how that may shift over the next four races, given the looming threat of Max Verstappen. Four races remaining. Can you see a world in where McLaren change that mentality, and how problematic could that be?
I don't see it happening. If it hasn't happened now, I can't see it happening going forward. They've got four races to go, and they've got two drivers who are a point apart from each other. There isn't essentially enough time to prioritise one over the other, because this could, you know, flip very quickly. If Oscar finished ninth and Lando finished 10th in a fortnight's time, Oscar retakes the lead of the championship. So because it's so tight, they've almost just got to let the drivers figure it out for themselves, which is what they've said they were going to do all year.
Norris has the inside line, takes that second place, goes wide, Piastri tangles and spins Norris round and makes contact with Nico Hülkenberg.
Both McLarens are out of this Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen is a threat, but you know, he really needs to win everything. And even then, you know, if either Oscar or Lando can finish second in all of those races, they probably still win the title. So Max Verstappen is a looming threat, but if both drivers can keep it clean and keep it on track, I don't actually think McLaren has any need to prioritise one driver over the other.
And then you got Max, and you know how Max is, how relentless he is, and he's coming back. The fact that you're also fighting your teammate and you have to be a little bit cleaner with your teammate, will that help Max? Does that put you a little bit on the back foot?
I don't think so. I mean, people can always say what they want and come up with their own opinions. Everyone has the right to do that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we do very well that we don't get praised for. So, no, I think we're performing well as a team.
Mick Doyle bringing a dangerous level of reason. He has been a glass half full for us today on what has felt like a bit of a dicey day for Australian motorsports fans. Can't wait for November 7, the Brazil Grand Prix. Hey, Mick, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it, mate.
Headlines. Pat Cummins is out for the first Ashes test in Perth. Steve Smith will captain the side in his absence. And we kind of expected this to be the case for some time, didn't we? But coach Andrew McDonald has confirmed as much. The good news, Cummins is going to start bowling this week. Here's McDonald.
Yeah, we've grappled with it for a little while. And the nature of the injury is that you never know. And you're sort of taking it a little bit day by day. We've run out of time. We sort of flagged this a week or so ago that it would take sort of 4+ weeks to get him up and running, and we've run out of time, unfortunately, but really optimistic and hopeful for the second test match. So I suppose the next question is, what's the time frame? What does it look like for the second test? Not really going to be able to answer that, other than to say that he'll be back bowling this week. Losing your captain's not ideal, but when you talk about Scott Bolman being the potential replacement, it's not bad. It's not a bad position to be in. Yeah, ideally we want the captain available.
Andrew McDonald was speaking in Canberra ahead of the T20 series opener with India on Wednesday. Yes, you can listen live and commercial free on ABC Radio and the ABC Listen app. The Australian ladies are gearing up for a huge clash in the semi-finals of the ODI World Cup with India. Australia smashed South Africa over the weekend and finished the round robin stage undefeated and the top seed in the competition. India has lost twice. But imagine the feverish scenes waiting in the semis Thursday night. That will also be live and commercial free on the ABC Listen app. Hey, there's a bit doing in rugby league. The Kangaroos easily took care of England at Wembley over the weekend, 26-6. Reece Walsh picked up where he left off in the NRL Grand Final with a scintillating display from fullback.
Are you happier with the two tries you scored or the two that you stopped in that first half?
Oh, probably the two that I stopped. I think that goes a long way, getting the result tonight.
Isaiah Yeo will miss game two with concussion. In the Pacific Champs, it will be Samoa heading to the final of the competition after they took care of Tonga 34-6 at a fizzy Lang Park in Brisbane. Earlier, the Gillaroos thumped Samoa 60-0. Did you catch the debut of Jessie Southwell and her crossfield kick to Julia Robinson? One of the best tries you will ever see. Here's the sound of incredible.
Southwell, lovely crossfield kick. Oh! Are you serious? Julia Robinson flies through the air. She's superhuman.
That's her 20th test try. More than any woman ever. The ladies next play New Zealand in Auckland and will follow up the following week against the Kiwis in Sydney in the final. Netball. Australia's not quite landed the Constellation Cup just yet. The Diamonds lost by 9 goals to the Kiwis in New Zealand. They lead the series 2-1, and if they can win Game 4, they'll regain the trophy. If the Silver Ferns win that game to level the series at 2-2, the teams will instead contest a mini-match dubbed Series Decider Time. That consists of 2 7-minute halves, and that would be dramatic to say the least. It all goes down 5:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Wednesday evening in Christchurch. Keep across the ABC website to find out how that one plays out. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Jason Ford. Thanks to Sky Sports, Fox Sports and Channel 9 for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.